This is Colin DeMello in the CTV newsroom. Tonight at 6, Comey comes to Washington. The fired FBI director testifies about his dealings with U.S. President Trump. We track his comments and their impact. Then, cracking down on dangerous driving. Why police say speeding, tailgating, and distraction are creating deadly situations. Plus, the Toronto Zoo could be reopening soon, but there's still one big hurdle in contract negotiations. And Tom Brown's got your weekend weather forecast. I'm Colin DeMello. Join Zoraida Allman and me tonight at 6 for all of the day's news.
CHUM AM Toronto is TSN 1050, an iHeart radio station and the voice of Toronto sports.
Phil, not letting the moment get to him. I'm Scott Ferguson with the TSN 1050 Sports Center update. Phil Kessel has been the missing ingredient in the Penguins' attack so far in the Stanley Cup final, but Phil claims neither he nor the Pens are feeling any overwhelming pressure.
I mean, we won last year, so we're kind of, I think we've been there before. Obviously, though it's a big stage, it means a lot, and I don't think there's that much pressure. I mean, there's pressure, but I don't think it's, that crazy.
Nashville has battled back to tie this series at 2. Puck drop just after 8 from Pittsburgh. The Argos, under new coach Mark Trestman, play their preseason opener tonight at BMO versus Montreal. We've got it for you tonight at 7:30 with Mike Hogan on the call. The Blue Jays wrap up their Western swing with 3 at Seattle starting tomorrow night. M's riding a 5-game win streak. Now it's Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog, and the voice of Toronto sports, TSN 1050, Toronto.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
Sam, how much time do you think I need in the gym?
Let me put you like this, young fella. Die, reborn, die again, and be reborn again. Then you might have a chance.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Shout out to our crack producer, Steph.
For what?
I sent out a tweet last night about handshakes and
yeah, I saw that.
I was like, we walk in here, we barely acknowledge each other.
We say hello, that's about it.
Barely.
Yeah.
So she just says to me, oh, we should do a handshake and smash our barrels together. Steph is pregnant with a little pot belly. And that's what she said to me, and she thought it would be funny. She's like, you're pro barrel and mine, like we like rub them again. I'm
that's
just
a
like,
jackass comment.
Yeah, it's ignorant.
It's a tough comment. It's a tough way to kick off the show. It's not a confidence
it's calling
builder.
You a big guy. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's calling me fat ass.
It's not what I really need out of the producer.
And she thought it was all fun, too. She's like, why don't we do a handshake? And then at the end of it, we bounce our barrels off each other. I'm like, I just walked away. I'm like, no.
Yeah, really? Non-gi.
Yeah, exactly. I think, a big part of producing, it's like coaching, man. You got to put your guys in the right spot in terms of mentality, have them feeling good about
themselves.
You
got to know where their headspace is, too.
Right.
You had to have known that I would have hated that comment.
Yeah.
And she said, at the end, we'll smash our barrels together. Non-gi.
I'm worried about you now. I'm worried this is not going to be your best show.
Well, because she rattled his cage before I don't know why she would do that.
Well, the DVP rattled my cage before I even got here. That's a solid hour and 35-minute drive for me to work. I'll never go on that highway again, ever.
You say that every single week.
No.
Every week you come in here.
Dave Poulin and I discussed it. He said, do not ever go on that unless it's 2 o'clock in the morning. That's the only time he takes it.
Let me ask you a question, because I got into this conversation with my brother-in-law a while ago. Over in Europe, I can't remember what city uses this system, but you can only drive one way, and it's like a big circle.
Oh, like a counterclockwise, whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
So what it would do is, let's say the DVP, you can only go south, so you'd have 4 lanes combined, and it goes all the way around, down the Gardner, up to the 427.
You got to take the 427 home.
Exactly. No, to get here, you would have to take the 427 up,
right? And
I guess,
DVP
and then
home.
Down, but everyone's going the same direction all the time.
I don't mind that because, yes, you would have to drive further mileage.
I don't really get it.
You can't go north on the DVP. You can only go south. It just goes around
all four lanes going south. So they take the barrier out.
Well,
not
everybody like in the eastern part of the city is going to go bonkers.
Well, it would be aggravating. Like, let's say you're at Eglinton. And you want to get to Lawrence, not that you would ever take the DVP necessarily to do that, but in order to get from Eglinton to Lawrence, you'd have to go all the way down the DVP,
I know,
around the Gardner, up the 427, up to the 401. From that standpoint, it would obviously not be beneficial. Annoying. But if we're talking...
See, I just get so frustrated because I live right at Park Lawn in Lakeshore, and for me to go west to the 427 and then up to the 401 and then across, I feel like...
I just can't do it.
But every time I get on the DVP, I drive a kilometer, and then I'm just dead gridlocked.
Yeah, you've got to trust your instincts,
well,
man.
The city's overpopulated, and they don't have the infrastructure to sort it out. That's the truth. That's the honest truth. And
yeah,
that's,
absolutely.
And there's nothing... I mean,
like,
I'm
telling you, I got on the DVP today, and I drove 1 kilometer, and then I was just... hour and 20 minutes to get to the 401. I'm just like, I can't do this ever again. And I've said that before.
You say it, I would say, at least once a week. Yeah. At least once a week you come in here and complain about the DVP.
Money, but they're not alone. Aren't they supposed to have a toll? Like, aren't they supposed to have some sort of
pay? No, they gas that. They're not doing that.
Why? Yeah. Why?
The province wouldn't sign off on it.
Well, that's ridiculous.
And it wasn't officially doctored. It was just a suggestion. You know how these guys work, man. The politicians, everything's a suggestion. Yeah. We got to have a committee.
Oh, yeah.
You know, let's push it to the next.
They're taking selfies with their shirts off and all of that type of stuff than actually getting some government going.
Right. Governing is not the priority. It's always passing the buck, and we'll get to it down the road.
You know me. I'm 6 years into Toronto now. The only complaint I really have... is the road system here.
Okay, so let's take that into consideration.
Okay.
And let's pretend Brian Burke worked for the Maple Leafs and came out and said he believes the city should spend money to buy the... Okay. How would you feel about that if the city came out and said, well, we got some issues here with transit and with the roads, and that's where the money should be going, but okay, Brian, we'll give the money to you instead.
I
how would you feel about that?
It's a great point. Here's the thing, though. As long as I was
guaranteed, like hockey, I'm like, you are nuts, Brian.
Take a lap, Burke. Get the hell out of town.
As long as that money is going into new road systems and not just lip service, so that you can get voted in. That's my only caveat.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right, there are some beatniks out there that don't want hockey and new rinks and all that. I get that.
Beatniks.
Well, I just used that term. I think it's hilarious.
You're anti-sport. You're a beatnik.
I don't know why. Because it's like from the 60s.
And right,
it's
I like
ridiculous
it. It's a good
term,
word.
And it's not threatening to anybody. That's why I carefully chose that word.
Okay.
There are some people that wouldn't want that, and I respect that. I get that. No problem. But... if that money was used properly, absolutely, because you have to do what's best for the greater good of the city and the province. I get that. Brian Burke, I don't know what like, he's got himself in some trouble out there. Like, that's, it's a grind. Mm-hmm. And he's a passionate guy, and it sounds like he got into a little bit of a dust-up and then started just shooting from the hip, and now they've got to clean up some mess out there.
Dude, the one guy that said, like, a smart person knows how to tie a tie...
I bet
he
you Burke
he
wanted
was
to fight
so
him.
Well, that's the thing. Burke cannot help himself.
Yeah.
This is why I appreciate Brian Burke, and this is why he's great for radio and great for guys like the three of us, because
correct.
He's always willing to give you something. He'll give you material. He had a line about concussions that no one is even focusing on, that any other day of the week would be breaking news. And yet, it's all about him going at it with some guy about how the Flames aren't even going to wait to see what happens. They'll just pick up shop and leave.
If you don't like it, go swimming.
I don't remember the exact wording of it, but essentially, you're guaranteed a concussion if you're going to play hockey. Like, that's kind of the way I read it. Like, and if you don't want that, that's fine, but go play something else or go do something else. But, listen, he's got to be responsible for his own words. And the truth of the matter is Brian Burke's not going to make the decision anyway.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter. He's in charge of the hockey operations. He's not going to decide if the Flames leave or not.
And I think that's where the frustration... I mean, Ken King, the president, or whatever his role is... I know Ken King has it's the highest role with the Flames. Had to come out and make a statement saying, you know, listen, you know, Brian's a passionate guy, and... but he doesn't speak for what we're trying to do here. Basically trying to mend the fence, because they are trying to get a rink out. They do need a rink out there. And why would you leave that city? Like, there's no reason to.
They're not leaving.
Yeah, they're not.
They're not leaving, and
although
everyone knows they're not leaving.
Although it would be crazy if, wouldn't that be crazy to, if you had the luncheon and yeah, we're going to Seattle next week. You're like, where the hell did that come from? Or Quebec City.
Well, I hope it doesn't happen.
It's not.
It's not going to happen. Anyway, Game 5 of the Cup Final tonight. We'll get to that in a moment. The NBA Finals will wrap up tomorrow night.
You got your wish last night, didn't you?
A great game.
It was a good game.
It was a very entertaining game, wasn't it?
But very disappointing near the end.
I got to be honest.
I thought it was amazing finish.
I had an epiphany last night about halfway through the fourth quarter. I have been pro-LeBron for a long time. I continued to be pro-LeBron. I wanted this series to go seven. Yeah. Simply based on entertainment value, simply based on material for this show. That is my priority.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about for 3 hours a day on this show?
Right.
And going into the game, I was thinking, Cleveland, I want them to win tonight. Let's make it a series.
Did you not think, like, halfway through the fourth quarter, I was thinking, how could they get destroyed in Golden State like they did? And now they're going to win this game. And then all of a sudden it was like, they're not winning.
Halfway through the fourth, though, I was openly rooting for Golden State. I'd rather witness history at this point. I'd rather see 16-0.
You think so?
That's what I'd rather see. Give me that experience. Let me be alive for the first team to ever go 16-0. And I found myself sitting there in bed watching the game thinking, I want Golden State to win. All of a sudden, I want the superpower team, the team that's playing against LeBron. I'm a big fan of LeBron.
Right.
I want them to go 16-0. But here's the thing. The NBA playoffs, in terms of game-in, game-out entertainment value, has been atrocious outside of last night.
Yes.
The most NBA thing that could happen now
is a blowout.
Would be the Cavs win game four. Cavs win game four, Golden State in game five, and then we look back and say, okay, they went 15-1. That's kind of forgettable.
In a blowout in game five.
But how about this? Blowout in game five.
How about this? How did they lose that game last night? That's where I'm sitting there still trying to piece this together because...
Oh, they couldn't make a shot coming down the stretch.
11-0 run to close out the game.
But, like, how...
I hear you, Noodles. I'm just thinking the same thing, man.
I'm sitting there and I'm watching, like, why do they keep passing it to Kevin Love when this guy just wants to throw a brick at the backboard?
Right.
Like, I at some point, does the coach... And I don't know. I would have to go back and look. Did they not have a timeout or something where the coach should be like, let's set up some plays here instead of just trying to...
The problem is you're always countering. Like, Golden State is moving at such a rapid pace, and they're hitting shots, and then you're moving up the court. And LeBron, this has always been... I don't think it's a knock, but some people consider it a knock because everyone compares LeBron to Jordan.
Right.
Jordan, people would suggest, wouldn't allow that to happen because he'd walk down the court and say, I'm scoring right now.
Right.
We're not getting outscored 11-0 to close out the game. LeBron is a facilitator. He opened up shots for Kyrie, for Kevin Love, for Korver. Great opportunities.
Which is great.
And they threw up bricks.
But that's my point, is at some point did LeBron not just go, give me the ball, and I'm going to go to the net, and they're going to foul me, or I'm going to hammer this home.
It's because not his style. I hear you,
most
man.
Powerful man on earth.
No one can stop him when he's going to the net. Absolutely.
I was
no
sitting there thinking, like, they're throwing to this guy who I think he's really good defensively, Love. Like, he battles, right?
Yeah, he's an offensive, he's a shooter himself. He can legitimately score.
He was brutal last night shooting.
I hear you, man.
And the other guy, the Kardashian.
Well, Tristan Thompson, our boy from Brampton, Ontario.
This guy.
Wow, is he taking some heat. And it's funny because the heat is associated with the Kardashian curse. I was reading a piece this morning about how people are openly blaming Khloe Kardashian.
I think I read the same piece.
It's not even Tristan Thompson's fault. It's Khloe Kardashian's fault for bringing that poison into their locker room and poison into Tristan Thompson's whole life.
Well, I like Tristan Thompson.
He's been awful through three games. But yeah, man.
I think our buddy Charles Barkley came out and said he could just play a game right now being old and fat and have more rebounds, more of an impact.
He's a complete non-factor. Tristan Thompson is not even factoring into the series at all. I don't recall a great play he moved.
They had a stat line, and it wasn't flattering.
It's like bagels across the board. But now we've got to a point where we know what's going to happen.
Yeah, the inevitable's there. Like,
it's
they're not
over.
Coming back.
J.R. Smith, you guys hear about this? Where He claims hacked. I don't understand why he has to claim hacked in a moment like this. He tweeted out, or
have you ever seen some of the athletes where their Twitter feed, they'll just start selling sunglasses? Like, they're like, do you want these? Like Tyler Toffoli, it happened to him where it was, I think he had 100 tweets in a row where it was like, do you want to buy sunglasses? And then there's a picture of sunglasses and it's like
that's hacking.
That's a virus.
That's a virus.
That's a hacking or a virus. Saying Cavs in 7 is not hacking.
Even if you got hacked, own that hacking. What is wrong with coming out and saying, we're winning this series. I'm not going to allow us to go down without a fight. Like, listen to his quote. I'm smarter than that. You're smarter than having confidence that you can win the series? Like, in the NBA, if you're down 0-3...
He actually came out and said, I'm smarter than that.
I didn't tweet that.
It was almost like he was like, are you crazy? We're not winning this series.
Yeah, he's like, do you realize we're down 0-3? We're done in 4. We're going to get smoked.
This guy's on... He's a Trivago guy today.
Oh, they're all... The lock of the century is Golden State in Game 4.
So what the hell do you think happened there? You think he sat on his couch, said Cavs in 7, and Braun called him up and said, what the hell is wrong
with you?
It was after the game.
The tweet was like 12 minutes after the game. So he said he was in the shower and came out and his phone had exploded. So I will be honest, I kind of believe him. Because why would 12 minutes after, you're like, I'm going to tweet this out and then go take a shower. Like I don't.
But maybe you're in there and you're rah-rah yelling. Yeah. Guys be like, that was, we had him
we
and
had
we blew
him,
it.
Close. But then you're right. Own it. Then go out. Hey,
own
like,
it. Even if I got hacked. That's like us saying we're going to be the greatest radio show of all time and then me being like, hacked? Are you insane? We're brutal. Our show sucks. We're going to be off the air in a month.
I was hacked once and it was weight loss stuff that sent out to people. And people were tweeting me like, you obviously change your password. And
but that, if it was a product or something, it was Cavs in 7. There is nothing inflammatory. There is nothing offside.
Yeah.
Cavs in 7 from a Cleveland Cavalier. If he wrote Warriors in 4, I'd be like, okay, I'll give you a hack.
Like Cavs in 7, he just could have came out today and said, you know what? I just believe in this team so much. I can't see us.
But he could have also said...
To say I'm smarter
I have to be
than that?
Yeah.
It's worse than deleting it.
Right.
He could have said, to be honest, I was hacked, but I do believe it. You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
He could have said, like, I didn't write that tweet, but I want to believe it because I want to be a part of the solution or something. Instead of being like, I'm smarter than that. Are you guys crazy?
I know better than that. I would never do something so crazy. So anyway, the Warriors, I mean, 15-0, and I'm embracing history now. That's what I want to see. But at the same time, you have two options for history here.
Yeah.
No team has ever gone 16-0 in the NBA playoffs, and no team has ever stormed back from down 0-3. Both would be equally incredible to see. But I'm on team 16-0. I'm on team greatest of all time. Let's see this finish because Golden State is just, they're magical. I mean, LeBron and Kyrie combined for 77 points last night. That's as good as they can play. They blow the doors off every other team in the NBA the way Cleveland played last night. And they lose by 5. And if you bet on the Cavs, Cavs were plus 3 at home. Not only did the Warriors win, they covered the number.
Wow.
That's got to be tough for a guy out there who was feeling real good about cashing in that Cavs plus 3 ticket with 3 minutes left.
I was just going to say, with 2:40 left, like they're in good shape.
Money.
How do you not find a way to lock that down? And believe me, we know. We've seen teams in the NHL give up 3-goal leads or 2-goal leads with 2 minutes left. It happens. It happened to the Oilers.
They were up 3-0 with two and a half minutes left.
Yeah, it happened to the Oilers.
Mm-hmm. That's the perfect comparison. That one was probably even more extreme. 3-0 in hockey is different than up 6
Absolutely.
Or 7 in the NBA.
But man, like, I felt bad for them. I wanted Cleveland to win just to, because I thought LeBron and Kyrie were outstanding, but then
it's over,
the supporting
man.
Cast, man, they were gone.
No dice. Tony Rizzo from Cleveland will join us a little bit later in the hour. Game 5 tonight. I'm excited for this Pens-Preds game because the focus is on Phil.
Phil's the man tonight.
And whenever the focus is on Phil, you can bank on...
Well, if I was Phil, I wouldn't be too happy with Geno Malkin.
No?
Oh, and Rick Tocchet. Didn't Rick Tocchet come out and say...
Well, first Rick Tocchet came out and said, you know, Phil's got to shoot more, and then Geno comes out and says...
He's going to score next game.
Gino, how about you score? If any teammate of mine did that to me, I'd be like, dude, you just put a lot of
you-know-what
on me.
Unless so. Gino's going to give you a perfect pass on the back door, which he's capable of doing. I thought it was, wasn't it Talkett that came out and said that Phil should have his own reality show?
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
They all love Phil down there, but at the same time, you're right. I mean, the target is kind of on his back. This is a team. This is, we talked about this in Toronto. It's never a good idea if Phil is your number
front
one
center,
guy.
Yeah.
This is Sid's team, Malkin's team, and all of a sudden, like, it's like going into the playoffs last night and being like, oh, Kevin Love's got to win this game for the Cavs. No. LeBron and Kyrie have to lead the way.
But
Kevin Love has to do his thing.
You're right. Kevin Love didn't do his thing last night, and they lost.
Right. And so, there is a parallel there. Phil's got
Phil
to snap out of
you're
it
right.
and bring something.
It's actually
tonight,
a great parallel, because if Phil is Kevin Love, he can't be throwing up bricks tonight. And that's... That guy was throwing bricks up, and he was a disaster near the end of the game.
Well, I got some Phil audio here, okay? And let me throw out some multiple choices, and you tell me what you think he's talking about. How close he is to I can't even go through this with a straight face. All right, you want? Well, let me go through
this. Yeah, I want to go through this. I want to hear it.
All right, how close he is to beating Bozy in NHL 17 on Xbox. How close he is to sneaking in a fishing trip on one of the off days. Or... scoring a goal in the cup final.
Yeah, it's getting close. It's getting closer. You know, I think I always get a chance or two, and you know, you just gotta make them count.
I don't know why I find that so funny.
I knew that you would love that when I heard that on TV last night. It's just
so
Phil.
It's just Phil.
Like, play it again.
Yeah, it's getting close. It's getting closer. You know, I think I always get a chance or two, and you know, you just gotta make them count.
They always get a chance or two.
That's Phil in a nutshell right there.
It is him in a nutshell.
Next time you ask me like about my weight loss, I'm just going to play the clip.
Yeah, it's getting close. It's getting closer. You know, I think I always get a chance or two, and you know, you just got to make them count.
It's a good point, man.
Just getting closer.
Getting a little bit closer. One of these days, it's going to happen.
So funny.
I think this might be a must-win, though, for Pitt.
Oh, yeah.
Feels like a must-win, isn't it?
This is their game seven.
They have to win tonight. They lose tonight, I think they probably lose in six. You're going to go into that building and win in Nashville the way they just played games 3 and 4?
Yeah.
I think it's a must-win for Pitt.
Yeah, I mean, this is the swing game. This is it.
But if,
don't you think?
I think Nashville can still win games 6 and 7 if they lose tonight. I don't think the winner of the series is determined tonight unless Nashville wins. I think if Nashville wins, it's over.
Well, game seven is always a coin flip, but I think Pittsburgh... in the back of their head, they're probably thinking, that's why we have home ice advantage. Like, we'll try to win our four home games, and we win the series.
And that's true. And, you know, they can take some solace. I was being honest yesterday when I was saying, like, they did outchance Nashville. But chances...
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. They lost the game. They've got to find a way to find the back of the net, to break momentum, and execute a game plan that Nashville can't dismantle. Because right now, Nashville is quick to pucks, like we saw last year with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Remember, we were just overwhelmed how fast they were. God, they're everywhere. They're just like flies all over turd.
Well, yeah, okay.
I was trying to find a better word.
Yeah, you got it. You hit it.
And this year, it's Nashville that looks so fast, where Pittsburgh looks slower because the back end is not as fleet of foot as you'd want it to be.
They don't have the puck as much.
Right.
I mean, you notice the team with the puck.
Man,
it's pretty simple.
Put it this way. Ron Hainsey playing 20-plus minutes. This guy's an acquisition at the deadline as an insurance policy. And you're asking this guy, you're asking him too much, to do too much. So the team has to help him out because he's doing his best, but he's Ron Hainsey.
Yeah,
he's a good player.
It's a reality, and he's up there in age too. He's been around the block, and
he's not as mobile as you think. Like, that's the truth. And when you're in Nashville, those speedy forwards, you're circling guys on that on the board and say, hammer this guy all night. He'll give you the puck back.
Ray's coming up from the Cup Final ahead of Game 5 tonight. We'll get to him just after 5 p.m. Bobby Mack coming up as well. The insiders were talking about Sammy Vatanen being available out of Anaheim, and Pierre said he believes the Maple Leafs would be one of those teams lining up for him. Don't forget, Vatanen's out for the first month or two of the season with the shoulder surgery, but he's a good player. He's under term for a couple of years at really quality money.
I'd take him. If you can get him for a reasonable price, take him every day of the week.
All right. We'll discuss that, and we'll maybe put a little package together in terms of what the Leafs might have to actually pay for him and what would be realistic. Tony Rizzo from ESPN Cleveland, we'll get to that. You want to play a clip of Reggie Miller on Dan Patrick this morning? We'll get to that. We'll comment on it next. Time now for a News Talk 1010 traffic and weather update. Here's Adjua.
Good afternoon. It's shaping up to be a very slow drive home. If you're headed out towards Burlington on the QEW eastbound, right at Appleby Line, we have a collision. It's blocking the HOV and the two left lanes. Then on the 403 westbound at Mavis, collision tying up the HOV and the left lane. Already a slow go from before Matheson. In town, collision on Wilson Heights and Shepherd, Kipling and Finch, and a Mississauga southbound Dixie closed Bloor to Winding Trail for collision cleanup. For tonight, a low of 11 expected for tomorrow. We do warm up, a mix of sun and cloud. We could see some rain in the afternoon and a high of 25. Mark's 3-day store-wide sale ends this Friday. Take an extra 20% off everything in store and on Marks.com. Marks, ready for this. Door crasher prices has marked. From the News Talk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Adjua and Sien Yabois.
Get liked or blocked by the O-Dog.
I block 100 people every day.
Tweet your opinions to the boys on Overdrive at TSN 1050 Radio. And come on, man, seriously?
Have an idea.
Rays coming up from Pittsburgh ahead of Game 5, Cup Final tonight. Bobby Mack later in the afternoon. Off day for the Jays. Back in action tomorrow night in Seattle. NBA Finals continues tomorrow night, where I believe we will see history. 16-0, Golden State. That will be incredible to watch, and I'm on board with it now. Never thought I'd see the day, but I'm fully supporting the idea of witnessing history. And it's funny how this series now is getting out of control. So we're already talking about the offseason, and some people are starting to talk about next year's offseason, where there are rumors really starting to pick up steam about the idea that LeBron will leave Cleveland again and move to the Western Conference.
What if he just went to Golden State?
Wouldn't that be something?
He's like, I want to join that dynasty and win.
I'll sign for the league minimum and just put me on the team.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
I wouldn't even be surprised anymore. The way the NBA works. But
would that be such just a joke? Like, would that be embarrassing almost?
He's not going to do that because they're not going to have the money. Like, Golden State, they're going to have to pay all these guys so much money. And LeBron's got an ego, as he should.
Yeah, but what if he's like, okay, I'm going to come there for 1 year?
I guess he would have the right to do that if he wanted.
I know, but it's just, if this guy just wants to win championships, which that's why you play.
Right. I don't see that ever happening. Okay, I think would be quite
what team could
outrageous.
He join that would challenge that team?
That's the problem. There isn't one out there right now.
That's what I'm saying. So like, how does this guy wants to win? He goes to the finals every year, but he doesn't want to get dummied. He's getting dummied right now.
Well, and that's the thing. I would suggest stay in the East because you're guaranteed to get to the finals in the East. In the West, if you're not on Golden State, you're gonna be out in the second or third round. All right, we'll get back into that in 2 minutes.
Tell you what, Toronto, free money for you. Go to wherever you can legally wager, and you bet the Cavs tonight, baby, because they're going to win, straight up. And I think they're getting points.
Oh, they were getting points, and not only did they lose last night, they didn't even cover the number.
I would have bet the Cavs yesterday, and I thought I was in good shape heading down the stretch there.
You would have taken them on the money line. I maybe would have taken the points, but...
I believed him.
You believed Tony Rizzo?
Absolutely.
Well,
I said it on this show. They were going to win.
You had Cleveland last night.
I had Cleveland last night.
I'm sure Tony felt pretty good about that call, too, until about a minute and a half left in the fourth quarter. Let's head down to Cleveland. Here's Tony Rizzo from ESPN. You must have been feeling pretty good, Tony.
All right. I want to apologize to all of my Canadian brethren. All right. I'm going to plant some trees, and I'm going to buy some maple syrup to make up for the bad call. But, fellas, come on. That was an act of God. The Cavs don't score in the last 3 minutes, an 11-0 run. That was a total act of God. I don't know who stepped in there, but I did feel good about that bet last night. And I know LeBron did too, but guys, we're shocked. I'm not going to lie. You know, what we're seeing here is really one of the best teams to come down the pike in a while. and didn't really realize it until the finals started. I think the Warriors are playing their best basketball right now. They are. And the addition of Kevin Durant is certainly the difference. You know, LeBron is exhausted. The guy's averaging a triple-double in the finals. You know, and I love everybody asking him these questions today about sticking around. You know, not even 24 hours after, you know, very difficult loss here. I don't know what's going to happen on Friday. And I'm not making any more predictions, but we are shocked the Cavs did not win last night.
Well, I'm with you in terms of the way they played. If you had told me before the game Kyrie and LeBron gave them 77 points and they'd have a lead after the first three quarters, I'd say they'd close at home. And it's just it's incredible what we're seeing out of Golden State. And I mentioned this earlier in the week. I think this focus about who is the greatest of all time, we're so focused on LeBron versus MJ, that's not the GOAT conversation to be had right now. It is the idea that Golden State is the greatest team to ever play. And I saw Rasheed Wallace come out today and say our 0-4 Pistons would beat this team. That 0-4 Pistons team would lose by 30, four straight.
I think Dr. J, too.
I'll give Dr. They J would, some credit.
Those kids would dribble around Lane Beer like it was a statue. Absolutely. Listen, I'm not going to get into all that, guys. I hate that. Of course, first of all, I'm not shocked that the guys that played in the 90s and the 80s are saying they wouldn't lose. I mean, come on. You know these competitors. Do you think Jordan and Magic are going to say they'd lose? But this team is incredible. It really is. And they wore down the Cavs, and they wore down LeBron. Here in Cleveland, the feeling is not of despair. We felt like the Cavs played damn good. I mean, we really did. They didn't choke last night. They did down the stretch in the last 3 minutes. But let's face it, you know, the Warriors team is about, they can go tomorrow night with a win. And again, I don't have any feel for that game yet. But tomorrow night with a win, they go 16-0. And I never in a million years thought that was possible. If we're the team, guys, Brian, Jeff, Jamie, if that's the team we lose to, I guess I can live with that. Now, I will say, I do have a bit of a relationship with Cavs owner Dan Gilbert. And after the Warriors lost last year, Joe Lacob, their owner, went out and got Kevin Durant. And I don't know what the Cavaliers' options are, but I could promise you the Cavs are not going to be coming back with the same team they had this year to challenge the Warriors next year.
We're Tony Rizzo from ESPN Cleveland.
So you don't have any kind of gut feeling about tomorrow night? I know you had your prediction.
I don't. I really don't. I'd listen, as a Clevelander, I'd love to see the Cavs get one game and stop the two things here are at stake. Number one, 16-0. It's kind of like stopping a no-hitter in baseball. You know, you're going to lose, but you know what? Damn it, I'm going to do my best to make sure they're not perfect. And then number two, our floor. 2 years ago, I had to sit there and watch that ceremony on our floor, and it's no fun when they do it on your floor.
I just think the Cavaliers
have some pride at stake, but I don't know, guys. I felt like last night they gave it their best shot, and it wasn't good enough. And they have that realization in their eyes right now.
Oh, yeah.
And the speculation's already starting about LeBron. And by the way, guys, that's ridiculous.
Well, don't you think that's LeBron's people? This is what they do every single year. I think it's about keeping the owner honest. Like, hey, he might leave, so you better go out there and do something.
Correct. That is, you are exactly right, Brian. That is spot on. LeBron keeps the pressure on Dan Gilbert to keep the Cavs competitive by not signing a 10-year deal. Okay, but he's not going anywhere. Trust me, I know his wife. He's not going anywhere. However, strategic move for him. In turn, Dan Gilbert keeps the pressure on his GM, David Griffin, who, by the way, contract expires at the end of this month. Now, they are in negotiations, but as of right now, the Cavs don't have a GM on July 1st.
We're Tony Rizzo from ESPN Cleveland. This is another thing that has been bothering me over the past 16 hours, and there's been a lot of things that have bothered me about the NBA playoffs, but Reggie Miller was on Dan Patrick this morning. Why don't we play this clip? Reggie was on DP earlier today talking about super teams and the need for super teams. Here's what he had to say.
These playoffs were terrible this year, and going forward are going to be a disaster unless another super team forms, because I just don't see how any team can beat the Golden State Warriors, because they have, like LeBron said, so much firepower, and it's almost like they're taking turns.
Here's where I take issue with that. Cleveland is a super team. They went 12-1 in the East.
No kidding.
How is that not a super team? Like, it's just too convenient now that Cleveland all of a sudden, what, the Cavs or the Raptors or the Celtics or the Wizards now? They're not. They are a super team. The one game they lost in the East, they were up, 25?
The Cavs aren't a Cinderella story.
No, they're not a Cinderella story. This isn't a team that's happy to be in the finals.
No.
12-1 against the East, and all of a sudden they're not a super team? I mean, that's bogus. They are a super team. It's just Golden State's that much better.
In the league. Guys, Cavs have the highest payroll in the league.
Right.
They're a super team. Here's the thing, guys. I remember when LeBron went to Miami and started, the first big three was probably Boston. But when LeBron went to Miami, they formed the big three. They didn't win the championship the first year. They lose to the Mavs in the finals. The next year, they win the championship. And I'm telling you, people were saying the same thing. How are we going to compete with this team? Now, they did win the next year. They put back-to-back. But then injuries happened, salary cap happened, unhappy players happened, guys that wanted to go home happened. So while I know what it looks like right now on the landscape, and certainly, you know, by the way, the Warriors haven't won anything yet. I know they have to win tomorrow, and I know they'll win the series.
It's over, Tony.
They haven't won yet.
It's over.
But we assume they will. We assume they will. And then we'll see what kind of problems they have to. And you can't predict injuries. I mean, Chris Bosh had a lung heart problem or whatever it was. I mean, it was, you know, who knows what's going to happen. They do look right now invincible, but things change quickly in the NBA.
Thank you for this as always, Tony. We'll do it again soon.
Guys, apologize to Canada. My next prediction is that I'm going to be salmon fishing up in Canada very soon.
All right, man.
There you
Make
go.
Your way up, okay?
Thanks, fellas.
All right, there's Tony Rizzo from ESPN Cleveland. And
he has no gut on this, like, the outcome the next game. I'm telling you, like, as a former athlete being down
three Cobb,
it's like there's something in the back of your head. I know we always joke about guys getting the U-Hauls ready and their plane tickets, but there's a little thing that says, do we really want to win this game to go back there and just get our asses kicked?
The reality check. You start to dig around a little bit in your mind.
I would be more surprised if Golden State won by single digits, then double digits.
You think it's like a 25-point?
Yeah, I could see it just getting completely out of control. Completely, because they want 16-0, too. Let's not forget what, they're not only playing for a ring now. They're playing for 16-0. Like, Cleveland will put up a fight. I could see them coming out, getting off to a good start, maybe even close at the half. And then they'll get into the room at halftime and say, what the hell are we doing here?
Why?
Why are we doing this?
Here's the only thing that could work against, I guess not, will work in Cleveland's favor, is Golden State could just have a bad night. You know what I mean? That's why he plays sports.
That's the thing about this team. Let's say Durant has an off night.
Okay,
who's stopping Steph Curry? Klay Thompson woke up offensively last night.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, who's stopping Draymond Green from contributing? Yeah. Andre Iguodala, Livingston. They're stacked, man. And, you know, I'm glad you flagged that Reggie Miller clip, because the idea that Cleveland isn't a super team is an embarrassing comment to intelligent NBA fans. They went 12-1 in the East.
Yeah.
They lost one game. One game. And all of a sudden, they're not a super team? The truth is, you can't put together, unless you contract the league to like six teams and keep the 100 best players, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's
Golden State is just,
they're on fire.
They're too good. They have the cohesion going for them. They're coached really well. They're dedicated.
And nobody's dating a Kardashian.
Probably the most important point to make.
We haven't really talked like big picture about these super teams. I think it's awful for business. I mean, you're a fan of...
Well, I was reading
Atlanta Hawks.
How about where we currently live?
Yeah, like I told you at every start of the year, it's like, yeah, they could be good, but who cares? Because they're not going to the finals.
There's nothing Masai can do this summer.
No,
that will make
he
anyone
claimed that
feel.
He said his team has to rethink the way they do business, kind of retool and have a different. You're not doing it.
Okay. How close are the Raptors to Golden State?
Oh, they're in
talent-wise. Not even close.
And what's amazing
give
about
some
that
perspective.
Is...
Give me perspective.
I can't even give you perspective, Noodles. I can't. It's Godfather 3 compared to Godfather 1. And
jumping the ship? Or what is it?
And the amazing thing is there are 22 or 3 or 4 other teams that are worse than the Raptors right. are. Like, the Raps are a legit top 6 yeah. or 7 team in the NBA.
It's jumping the shark?
Yeah, I guess. The NBA has jumped the shark, this whole script. But this is the thing that I think will be disappointing for people when the dust settles. We were willing to put up with the garbage to see Golden State and Cleveland go 7
right.
and have a miracle series, and it's going to end up in a sweep. Even this series got disappointing. And that wow. was the only thing. This is like Mayweather Pacquiao all over again. All the build up, all the talk, all the promotion, and then it's a complete dud.
I always cheered for Pacquiao. I like that guy.
You don't like Mayweather?
I just don't like the way he conducts his.
I don't like him either, but I love to watch him fight.
But he doesn't seem to get involved. Like, he's always dancing around. Like, you can't get a clean hit on him.
That's kind of the point of fighting.
The point is, I want Pacquiao to kind of get him in the corner and just dust him.
Couldn't do it.
Can't do it.
Guy's never lost. 16-0 for the
Conor McGregor's not going to beat him.
No, he'll get smoked. All right, Ray's coming up from Pittsburgh. They were all at the U2 concert last night.
Yeah, well, you know my thoughts on Bono and his...
Yeah, I'm not a fan at all of
U2. Although I
Bono.
Did see, like, Sarah Velli and those guys tweeting out, like, Sunday, Bloody Sunday. I enjoy that song. Like, they've got some...
I honestly think if we were away and you guys sent out an email, like a group email, and said, U2 tonight, ? I'd be like, no thanks.
I've seen U2 multiple times. They're very good live. I love The Edge. He's a great guitarist. I've told you, I don't want the political statement.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of
Bono. I just want to go and have a few drinks and enjoy myself. I don't need, you know, him being a hero. That's it.
I think I'd probably go if everyone
They're
was going.
They're a legendary band. I've seen The Stones. Like, you get tickets.
U2 is not in the same world as The Stones. It's not even remotely close.
They are, put it this way, I always lump in legendary bands together. I put Metallica in there too.
Oh, stop, Noodles. The Stones are on such a different level. They're the greatest rock band of all time.
Period, end of story. I've seen them. I like them. I'm talking
about their catalog and all that.
You're right.
They were humming in the late 60s and early 70s.
You just love Keith Richards and the way that he conducts his business.
I love Keith Richards. I'm a big, big fan.
Music is so subjective because it's all in personal opinion.
Valid. Very valid.
That's the truth.
All right, race coming up. Bobby Mack later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Will tweeting in saying, actually, hey, Zeppelin is 1, the Stones are 2. Someone else tweeting in saying, pump the brakes, Hayes. The Beatles are the best band of all time. I never said best band of all time. I said best rock band.
Oh.
The Stones. Come on now. A lot of love for Zeppelin, though. Some people comparing...
Why do you subject yourself to people just... Don't make these...
What?
That's his opinion. That's
what I can't
I said,
have a take on...
I said music
the
is
you're
going to
have that all afternoon. These people...
Yeah, go ahead. Bring it.
You seem to like it. I hate it.
Well, Zeppelin is Golden State. The Stones are the Cavs, according to Taylor. I love Zeppelin, too. Zeppelin would be right up on top of that list, too. But the Stones, man, you can't beat them, in my opinion.
And that's why. Like, that's why music is subjective. That's why people enjoy different genres. That's the truth.
I saw the Stones in San Jose.
I've seen them 3 times, I think. Sarstock being one of them.
What?
Sarstock.
Remember Star? You don't. You,
there were
you
SARS
remember SARS
here in Toronto.
Dude, there was no Sarstock.
There was.
Where were you? I remember
SARS with all the masks, but I don't remember Sarstock.
They had a benefit concert.
Okay,
we gotta get back into this.
Okay, we'll kick off the next hour. I'll drop some knowledge on you. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.